Good morning. Good morning to Roma as well, who are joining us this morning. We're going to pray and then we're going to look at God's word together. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that as we look at this small part of your word this morning, that you'll keep us attentive, help us to hear what you have to say, and Lord, may your words shape and change our hearts and how we live. Amen.
Pete Wright has been reading this book, Heaven. It's rather thick, and if you've spent any time with him recently, he's been talking a lot about like the fact that we don't imagine heaven enough. And so he's been spending a lot of time thinking about heaven, and then this series starts, right, and he kind of leaves. And he's left me with the job of kind of starting this sermon series on thinking about heaven. And I realised that I'm actually one of the people that he's talking about, kind of saying, hey, you don't imagine heaven enough. I sat in my office this week as I started to think about what we would look at. And I realised the most imaginative time in my life, right, was probably when I was in about grade 10 maths. And this is embarrassing to say out loud, but I used to just daydream that I was Spider-Man. And I was terrible at maths, but I used to think, I wonder if I could swing between that building and make it alive. And that was one of my big kind of daydreaming, imagining moments for the majority of high school. It's incredibly nerdy, but it's true. And I don't know, like, are we people? Like, is Pete right to be worried that we're people? We daydream and we imagine lots of other stuff, but do we ever daydream and imagine heaven? I don't know. And so I think this is why we're going to tackle this series. We're going to spend time imagining and daydreaming about heaven together. And so this morning we're going to start that by looking at Colossians, four verses, and we're going to look at three things, okay? We're going to look at the call, we're going to look at the cause, and we're going to look at the consequence. Okay, the call, the cause, and the consequence. We're going to start with the call. In the verses Barry read to us, Paul says twice, he calls us twice to imagine heaven. He says, set your hearts, set your minds on things above, on heaven. We are to be people who focus on heaven. Have a look at those verses again. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now the fact, right, that Paul has to tell the Colossians to imagine heaven tends to suggest to me that this might not be the natural thing that they're doing. They might be setting their hearts and minds on things, but they're not setting their hearts and minds on heaven. And as we sit here this morning, I reckon we completely understand setting our hearts and minds on things. We set our hearts and minds on small things. We had a lovely dinner the other night, Jacqueline and I, with Reg and Marie Smith. And Marie made this potato bake, right? And it is amazing. And I set my heart on it straight away. I said to Jacqueline, hey, Jacqueline, you need to talk to Marie about getting a recipe for this, and we need to do some shopping and get all those ingredients. I set my heart and my mind, and then politely asked Jacqueline, of course, to set her heart and mind on making this potato bake. I think we've had it four times since. But we set our minds on small things, but we also set our minds on really massive things as well, don't we? I mean, imagine you're visiting Lake Broadwater and you see someone out there skiing and they've got this boat and you just think, oh man, wouldn't it be great to have a ski boat like that? And you start thinking about a ski boat and you go, oh, I wonder if I could afford a ski boat like that. And so your heart's set on it, and then you set your mind on it as well, and you start looking at brochures and thinking about how big a boat do I need, can I afford it, what would I need to not buy this. We just We're people that set our hearts and minds on things, all kinds of things, girls and boys, sports, family, weight loss, all kinds of stuff we set our hearts and minds on. And they kind of take our daydreams and our imaginations hostage, and we really focus on them. And then sometimes our hearts and minds, they seem to force to focus on other things, things that aren't so pleasant, like illness and tragedy and work. And our imaginations are kind of captured by them in a different way, and we spend a lot of time thinking about what life would be like if we didn't have this thing. And we don't really want to focus on those things, but we do. But Paul calls us here in these verses not to set our hearts and minds, not to set our focus, not to let ourselves be captured by these kinds of earthly things. He says, be captured by heaven. Focus on heaven. Long for it. Look forward to it. Daydream about it. Imagine it. And I want to be clear as we start this series, right? I think this is important, that Paul's saying this to all Christians. It's not just something you kind of certain people think about. Now, Ross turned 50 this week. Some of you will know that, some of you won't. And I naturally think...
They do now.
They do now. And I naturally think he's a little bit closer to heaven. And I know we kind of laugh, but I think there's some truth. Is I was talking with a friend of mine last week. He's in grade 9. And one of the things that we realise is that actually we think elderly people think about heaven, but young people don't think about heaven. But Paul doesn't say that here. He says, hey, I'm not calling just for elderly people to think about heaven. I'm calling for all Christians to set their hearts and minds on heaven. He's calling teenagers to 70-year-olds, everyone in between and everyone either side, to set their hearts and minds on heaven from now until we get there. And so that's what we're going to be doing over this series. And the question that I think these verses help us start to think about is why? Why does Paul call us to imagine heaven and be captured by heaven? And so I want to look at the cause with you, the cause of why we imagine heaven. And I think we do it, and I know this is going to sound strange, but we do it because we're already there. We're already in heaven. And I recognise that sounds crazy, but I want you to stick with me as we look at these verses, because there's a key word in there, okay? The key word is since. Did you notice it in verse 1? It says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Since then, Paul's saying, here's the reason, okay? Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. You have been raised with Christ. Christ has been raised. You have been raised. Now, what's this got to do with heaven? Okay, one of the big points that Paul's trying to make in the whole letter of Colossians is that people who trust Jesus are in him. Paul's saying to the Colossians, is part of his big reminder, is saying, you are in Christ. What's happened to Jesus has happened to you. What's true of Jesus is now true of you who trust in him. So if Christ has been raised, you have been raised. Right? And so think about a plane. I think Ross used this illustration once. You kind of board the plane, you show them your ticket, and you sit down in row 7 and in, I don't know, seat C, and from then on, the destination of the plane is your destination. So the plane takes off, leaving Brisbane, and you take off, leaving Brisbane. The plane hits turbulence, and you hit turbulence. The plane begins to nosedive, you begin to nosedive. The plane pulls up at the last second, you pull up at the last second. You land safely in Sydney, the plane lands safely in Sydney. Do you get that idea? The destination of the plane is your destination once you're there. What happens to the plane happens to you. And this is the big part of what Paul is trying to tell the Colossians. This is at the heart of Christianity. This is the good news of Jesus, right? When you trust Jesus, you are in him. What's actually true of Jesus is declared to be true of you. And so what's this got to do with heaven? Well, one of the things that's true of Jesus is that he's in heaven. Look at verse 1 again. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Right? He's there. He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. So if Jesus is in heaven and you're in him, like, you are in heaven. Now, some of you love Dolby, and some of you genuinely think it's the centre of the universe, but no one, I don't think, that I've met so far would go as far to say that Dolby is heaven. And it's not, okay? Just in case some of you would, and I haven't met you yet, it's not. So what's Paul trying to say? Paul's trying to say is that while it might not feel like you're in heaven, it's going to be so true for you one day because you're in Christ and he's already there. One day you'll have this full experience of it. The sights, the tastes, the smells, they'll all be yours, all because of Jesus. And there's nothing at all that can get in the way of this happening. That's what Paul's saying. You know, it's like when you're buying a home, you know, you find a place and you think, hey, this will be good, and you then start to have to do copious amounts of paperwork. And what you pray is that you find a good solicitor who kind of just pretty much holds your hand and walks you all the way through it. That's what you really want. And then, this is the key, right? Then you do all the money stuff, you do all the paperwork stuff, and then the house, it goes unconditional. And it's yours, right? You haven't moved in yet, but it's yours. Kind of the deck out the back, the ensuite in the bedroom, the timber floors, even the kind of rotting shed that's falling to pieces in the back. Like, it's all yours, the fantastic views. You haven't lived there yet, but it's yours. And you kind of haven't tasted all that homeliness that's so wonderful about it, but it's yours. It's your home. And when you're in Christ, heaven is your home. There's nothing that's going to get in the way. Now, maybe you're not a homeowner, and so maybe it's for you, it's a bit more like you've been battling it out on eBay for something that you just love dearly, and you finally win that bid and you pay by PayPal and you get that email saying, hey, it's on the way, it's in the post. You haven't experienced this thing you've bought yet, but you're so excited about it. It's all yours and it's on its way. When you're in Christ, heaven is yours. It's on its way. It's guaranteed. Nothing is going to get in the way of that. You will experience heaven and all its wonderful kind of homeliness. And you'll be there with Jesus at the right hand of God, right next to him. So close that when you're watching a movie in heaven, you'll be able to lean over and say, this guy is a great actor. You did a great job creating him. You know, It's mind-blowing, isn't it? That we can think about heaven like this. It's our home. How can our imaginations kind of not run away with that? It doesn't make sense. And so Paul's call to imagine heaven, I feel like it is. It's this thing that makes complete sense because we are already there and we're guaranteed to get there because Jesus is there. It's our certain future. It's our real home. How can we not look forward to that day? It makes complete sense for people who trust in Jesus to imagine heaven. It might be worthwhile mentioning here, though, that there are actually lots of people who don't trust in Jesus who also love to imagine heaven. And I understand that too, because we look at this world that we live in and we look at the people that we kind of share this world with, and it just looks messy, doesn't it? It looks broken. There is so much wrong. Things just don't seem right. And so the sound of heaven is just so nice when we kind of watch the news at night. We'd love for there to be no more tears or no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We'd love for all injustice to be righted. We'd love for wrongs to be undone. Well, I think what's confronting about what Paul has to say this morning, and really what the rest of the Bible has to say, is that they don't feel like there's any truth in that there's many paths to heaven. Paul holds to this truth that there's one way to heaven, and that's by trusting Jesus, by being in Christ. And so if you love the sound of heaven, but you don't trust Jesus, all I can do this morning is encourage you to let your dissatisfaction as you look at the world drive you to look closely at Jesus. To look closely at Jesus and many other people's claims that he did indeed walk this earth, he did die, and he did rise again. And as you look, I hope you see that he died and rose again for the sake of this messed up world, for the sake of the broken people in it. And it's going to be confronting if you do look into Jesus, because he's actually going to say to you that you are part of the brokenness, which is really, really confronting to realize that you're partly to blame for this mess. But it's also going to be incredibly comforting for you, comforting beyond any kind of understanding, because as you look at Jesus and as you might meet him and trust in him, what he does is he holds out this unshakable promise of heaven to you. And so my encouragement to you this morning is if you love the sound of heaven but don't trust Jesus, is to look into him, because he claims he is the only way. Now, for many of us here this morning, the promise of heaven that Jesus offers is something that we hold really tightly to. And as we imagine the heaven that Jesus offers, I think what it does, like Bill was saying before, it actually impacts how we live now. It changes our life now as well as in the future. So let's have a look at the consequences. The consequences of imagining heaven. Matt and Kim, right, they run this show called Matt and Kim to the Rescue. I don't know if you've seen it. It hasn't been on for a while. I think it was on at the beginning of this year. And they're a couple from the TV show The Block. And what they do is they go into a home and they renovate it. They meet a needy family and they go into their home and they send the family away and they take a team in and they just renovate the whole house. And so it's the same home, they don't demolish it, they just renovate it. And it gets completely renewed, right? The leaking tap, it gets fixed, the rotten floorboards, they get replaced, the kitchen gets modernised, the shower gets retiled, hopefully, and they even probably put in one of those, the shower heads that give you a massage as you're kind of in the shower, they put one of them in definitely. New paint, the kind of colours that just make you smile and think today is going to be a great day. That is what they do for this house. And while they're doing all this work, what do you think the family are doing? I reckon they're in their place that they're staying in, and they're just trying to imagine what their home is going to look like when they get back. You know, it's their home. It's still their home, but it's going to be completely renewed, completely renovated. It would be impossible, I reckon, to kind of hold their imaginations back. And in the place that they're staying in while they wait their temporary accommodation, imagine if this happens. The hot tap right in the shower doesn't work. And so for the week while the renovation is happening, they can only have cold showers. I think it's going to bother them, right? Because their imagination is so captured. They're saying, hey, this is going to be great. Our new home isn't going to have this problem. It's going to have hot water and that kind of massaging shower head. It's going to be great. This cold water for a week doesn't bother me so much. And I think Paul here in these verses I feel like he's encouraging those of us who trust Jesus to remember that we are in Christ. If you trust Jesus, you are in Christ. It means heaven is yours. And yes, it mightn't feel like you're kind of there yet, but it's true. One day you are going to have a full experience of heaven. Heaven is your home, and that's where you're headed. And it changes now how you live in this kind of temporary accommodation. So it means that if something is broken now in this temporary accommodation, it means I think that we can deal with it differently. So let's say your health is broken. Say you're ill. I think what these verses help us say is it means we can look at Jesus and then look at our illness and actually say to it, hey, I'm in Christ. Illness, you are not going to destroy my future. Because of Jesus, heaven is mine. A renovated, renewed, resurrected body is mine. And so I can handle you. And it doesn't remove pain now. It doesn't make illness easy for us. I don't want you to hear me saying that. It's still going to be hard. But I think what it does is it brings us back from the brink of just complete brokenness and despair. It makes our illnesses manageable now. And there are many difficulties and many tragedies that I think we could bring to minds. But the fact that Jesus knows that they're wrong and that he's going to right them makes them manageable here and now. It doesn't make them easy. It doesn't make them enjoyable. But because Jesus has promised and secured our future, we can handle them now. And if we went back, right, to our family who's waiting in their home for their renovations to finish, you imagine if one of the kids, right, they're having spaghetti bolognese for dinner, and they race in to eat in front of the TV, the parents start yelling, whoa, 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 that's not happening, right? We're about to move into a new house with brand new carpets. We will not be eating spaghetti bolognese in front of the TV. Sit at the table. We're going to start new habits right here, right now, because we are about to move into our new place. And I think Paul suggests it's the same for us, because if we read on in chapter 3, he kind of says that there's behavior that fits with heaven, behavior that matches a renewed earth and a resurrected you. And so he says it kind of makes sense that things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language and lies, they get done away with. Because we recognize that they're contributing to the mess and not to the new renovations. And so they just don't fit as part of our new home. And not only do they not fit, actually, because of what Jesus has done, because we are in him, our reasons for behaving that way, I think, have gone. So if we take greed, for example, why often are we greedy people? We're greedy people because we're trying to hold on to stuff to kind of secure what life is going to be like in the future. It's hard to be generous and give things away when we're worried about our future and how we're going to kind of survive. But Jesus has secured our future, and it enables us to be generous and fight greed. And so I think this is why Paul calls us actually to set our hearts and our minds on heaven, because as we think about heaven, it really does begin to filter down into this life. It impacts how we live now. And so we're called to imagine heaven, and I encourage you to do that as we tackle this series, to daydream about heaven, because as people who trust Jesus, we are in him. Heaven is our home. It's our certain future. And it doesn't result in us being people who kind of have just our heads in the clouds all the time. But it's going to result in us being people who can live with our feet on the ground in this rather messy world. but it's a world that has a glorious, glorious future, a glorious future that is certain and secure because of Jesus. And we're a part of that as we trust him and find ourselves in him. Let me read the last two verses for you from Colossians. It says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, as we start this series on heaven and as we spend this next 6 weeks here together on a Sunday morning and in our small groups during the week, I pray, Lord, that we will be people who have our hearts and minds captured by heaven, to have our hearts and minds captured by you and all that you've done for us. Help us to get our minds around this truth that we are in you. And Lord, may it change how we live now. May we not be captured by things that are going to lead us away from you, but may we be completely captured by you. Amen.